Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Bill Reeser. He's the author of a book called Vertical Leap, How Jesus Changed New York City Basketball Legend Bill Reeser. And man, if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you to go check out the podcast. You go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Bill just went through so many traumatic things as a child, and yet God gave him a great gift of basketball ability, but God didn't have his attention yet, and we're going to talk about that. So, Bill, when we left yesterday, we talked about you're one of the top high school prospects in all the country. You've even got the nickname White Jesus, which was not for spiritual ramification, but because of your basketball ability, comparing you to Earl the Pearl Monroe, who had the nickname of Black Jesus. Where did you wind up playing college basketball? Talk to us about that process.
Well, through the counsel of my high school coach, and he convinced me that the school that had my best interests at heart, and again, I was the only thing that mattered to me at the time because I was filled with so much pain, I was in running mode, escape mode. I wanted to get away from New York as far as possible, and so I wound up playing at Centenary College, where Robert Parrish played with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Hal Sutton, the pro golfer. I wound up going there because my high school coach basically, without my knowledge, told all the other universities that I wasn't interested in going there. And fast forward, I had a pretty decent year. We probably had the toughest schedule in the country. We played against Arkansas when they had Sidney Moncrief and Brewer and that crew. They were ranked 2. Illinois was ranked number 1. We played against Illinois, Arkansas, DePaul. We played against some really good schools. I had a good year. It was a decent year. It started off really rough. A week before my sophomore season, I was at a party. Again, my lifestyle. I just want to preface this by telling our listeners, think about the stupidity about what I'm about to say. Before this party, I'm drinking, and you have to walk across a pool to get to the party. I see a tree, and I say to myself, I'll just climb the tree, acting like a fool. I climb the tree about 100 feet, and a branch breaks, and I bust my knee. Think about the stupidity behind that. And that was right before the start of my sophomore season. I had to have major knee surgery. They weren't scoping then. They're asking me to play before I was 100% healthy. And I left on Billy Reeser poster night, just to give you an idea of the pride I had. I actually had a pro agent at the time, a guy who represented Maurice Cheeks, and maybe a guy that some of you may know, Julius Irving.
Yeah, he was decent.
And he knew a head coach at Eastern Kentucky University, a guy by the name of Ed Beyer. And he says, a good friend of mine, it's a Division I school, not a powerhouse. He says, you'll be a star, you'll sit out a year, you get healthy, you play 2 years, you get drafted, everything will be great. Boom, that was the plan. And I made a visit, was offered a scholarship that afternoon that I made the visit. And the one simple tryout. I got healthy, sat out a year, basketball didn't go as planned. A new coach came in, he didn't like me, I didn't like him, I suffered injuries that would put me out about 12 weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the mental capacity to deal with that type of challenge in my life, to basically readjust my thinking as well as my playing and play to, and I basically lost my edge. I basically mm-hmm. lost my game in a sense because in my head I couldn't handle the pressure of being out that long and not, again, this is all on me. This has nothing to do with the program, the coach. This is all on me, not being able to submit to authority, not being able to handle adversity in my life, and I was devastated. But something great happened to me when I got to Eastern. I saw a girl that I when I first locked eyes on her, I said, oh, boy, I like this girl. She even told her girlfriends the first day she saw me, she goes, I'm going to marry that man. She went to school. She was a girl named Carolyn, and we started dating.
The funny part, though, in the book you share that when you guys met, though, because she's from Eastern Kentucky, from New York City, you guys didn't even get each other's names right, did you?
You know, I had the Vinnie Barbarito, like, how you doing? This is unbelievable accent, you know. I had a real New York head. And she's from Clay County. As a matter of fact, she's a Hatfield. Okay, so God has a great sense of humor. hooking up a guy from Harlem with a Hatfield. And I tell you what, you don't want to mess with us.
yeah, that's a combination.
And that is a combination. But we introduced ourselves to each other. She thought my name was Bo. I thought her name was Karen. She comes looking for me in the dorm. Says, there a guy named Bo from New York? And I don't think there's a guy named Bo. And a guy named Bill. She calls it up in the room. Says, Bo there? And I said, there ain't no Bo's here. There ain't no Bo from New York.
And I love that.
Anyway,
in the book.
So
it was great.
We couldn't understand each other, but we just started hanging out. We started dating. And this is uncharacteristic of me to stop seeing. My goal every night was to just come home with a different person. And when I started dating Carolyn, I just stopped seeing everyone else. And we just started dating each other. And when we finished college, we decided to go to New York. We got engaged, and we immediately decided to get married because I thought we were in love. I said I thought because I know this to be true today. I was incapable of loving, and I didn't know what a covenant relationship meant. Mm. And I believe that it's impossible to love another person until we first receive the love that God has for us that can only come through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. I didn't have that relationship. So in reality, I was incapable of loving. But I thought I'd just give it my best shot. I just thought, hey, I'm going to be with her. I'm going to have a family, and I'm going to love her as much as I know how to love. You see, but God is love. He created the idea of love. Mm. And we're, when he drops that love into us, the Bible says those that have been forgiven much, they love much. And I know how much I've been forgiven. So now God gives me the capacity to love. Mm. And now I can love. I can see people through the eyes of Jesus. I can love my wife as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
But I couldn't do that back then. Fact of the matter, my family wasn't a priority. So we got married, and it was a great wedding day. It was like a remake of My Cousin Vinny, because my whole New York family came from New York to Kentucky. We fly them into Lexington, bypass all civilization, and take them to Manchester, Kentucky as their first ever experience.
That's culture shock.
It's a culture shock. And Carolyn gave birth to my daughter, Kristen. And you would think that would change your priorities. It didn't. Because the only thing that was important to me was me. And after about 2.5 years of never touching a basketball, I picked up a ball one day. Someone asked me to play. I was walking by some courts, and 2 weeks later, I'm playing in all the pro tournaments in New York City. And I'm making a comeback. I'm actually playing pretty good. My body's healed up. I'm jumping again, and I'm starting to get offers to play in Europe. And I'm a few weeks away from getting an NBA tryout. And I know I'm going to make the team. Because one of the guys that played the team that I'm playing with is full of all ex-NBA and college all-stars. And we're playing in Rucker Park. We're playing at the Garden. We're playing for a radio station in New York City. And these guys are really, really good. And I'm making a comeback. And before that tryout, I suffered an injury that my doctors told me I could never play basketball ever again.
What kind of injury was it, Bill?
I injured two things. I injured my back, and I had my shoulder ripped out of my socket. Mm. And so my shoulder was completely ripped out. And then when they x-rayed my neck and back, they said, you can never jump again. I said, your back will fall apart. And so out of all the things that hurt me growing up, the abandonment of a father, the sexual assault, the abuse, the getting picked on, all the things that I experienced growing up, nothing hurt more than the final realization that my dreams of being an NBA star
absolutely
have fallen apart. I didn't know how to manage that pain. And the problem is when you don't take personal responsibility for your own life, you'll blame the ones you love the most. Mm. I didn't want to take personal responsibility because I didn't like what I saw when I looked at Bill Reeser. So I started blaming my family. And I started hanging around at places I should have never hung around. I take my drug use and drinking to a whole new level. I remember doing so much cocaine at my sister's wedding that I lost my eyesight for a week. I mean, I'm telling you, I was out of control. And one day I had a conversation with a person I should have never had a conversation with. That conversation led to an affair. that led to a long period, maybe around 7 or so years, of just a sick, secret, sexual, adulterous lifestyle that was hideous. And I'm living this double life, and I'm holding on by a thread. But while all this is going on, Carolyn recommits her life to Christ. She would want me to tell you that when we first started dating, she gave her life to Christ when she was a teenager, but she obviously walked away from her faith when she met me. The good news is that God doesn't walk away from us.
Amen.
And so she recommits her life to Christ, starts praying, hearing from God, and she approaches me one day and says, I want to raise our daughter in Lexington, Kentucky. And I thought, this would be great. I could run. And I got a good friend, Max Apple. And you know Max, and Max would always tell me, Bill, you're either running to the cross or you're running from the cross. And I thought running would be the answer, but wherever I went, there was always a problem. I was always there.
Well, let me ask you this, because I want to make sure tomorrow we're going to talk about when you got back to Lexington. But not only were you dealing with the drugs, you know, adultery affairs, but you also had a little bit of gambling debt too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was a bad gambler. And you know, in New York City, before the lotto system, there was illegal numbers. By the way, the lotto system came from mob guys that played illegal numbers every day. And so they would wait to see what horses win certain races, and that would be the number for the day. And then the lotto system said, hey, we can make some money off of this. Mob guys are on to something. And mob guys don't get credit for a lot of things. You know, right. Like even in the Bible, I know that a lot of people believe that it was the Jews that killed Jesus, but the Italians did it. Okay, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I mean, I don't know. I saw these guys from my neighborhood. Okay, so I'm just awesome. Kidding. It's the Sadducees and Pharisees. If you're new,
you know, don't email us. Yeah, we know.
If you're new to Christianity, don't want to offend anybody. But yeah, I used to gamble. If I had any extra money, and I would just gamble money on numbers every week because I knew I was going to hit a number, and it was ingrained into me. You could even say it was a generational curse because I grew up as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, just as a baby. My mom would give me money to go play numbers at the illegal grocery store. And I'm sure I am on more FBI tapes growing up. And about once a year, you see the FBI raid the store and everything. Yep. And so I grew up playing. It was just ingrained in me. It's just a normal thing. Just like people grow up drinking all the time, people grow up gambling. And I came from a family of gamblers, drinkers, and womanizers. It's in my family line from generation to generation to generation. But I'm grateful that God breaks those generational curses.
Yes, he does. Well, we're going to hope you'll stay with us tomorrow. We're going to continue our conversation with Bill Reeser. He moves to Kentucky with his precious wife, Carolyn, his daughter, Kristen. But he's got $40,000 in gambling debt. He's also got a lot of anger, just all the childhood wounds. His dream of playing professional basketball has come to an end. So I'm sure a lot of you can relate to a lot of the different wounds that he's talked about. But there is hope in this story. And it happened in Kentucky as he came back to Kentucky. His wife, Carolyn, from Eastern Kentucky, Manchester, they came back to Lexington. And it's a great story of redemption. But it got a little bit uglier before it got better. So I hope you'll stay with us. Ask a friend to join us. You'd really be blessed as we're talking with Bill Reeser about his book called Vertical Leap. If you just tuned in late or you missed our first program, you can always go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Hey, how you doing? This is Bill Reeser. I just want to tell you that we're so excited about the launch of Encounter on March the 18th at Church of the Savior on 1301 Brannan Road at 6:30 p.m. It's a great ministry. For more information, go to www.thehopeencounter.org. www.thehopeencounter.org. This is a ministry to help broken and hurting people overcome life's adversity so they can discover the free devoted life to Jesus Christ. March 18th. I hope you all come out.